Who am I? For the people who don't know me, I'm Christophe Rennen. I work as an architect at Capgemini Belgium. I'm a member of the Microsoft Extended Experts team with a focus on Windows Azure. And I'm also a crew member of the Belgium Windows Azure User Group, AZUG, which does every month a session on Windows Azure topics. So like the session of this evening, also about Windows 8 and Windows Azure. So if you want to, you can follow me on Twitter, at Christophe Rennen. Or you, if you want to, you can also always send me an email on my personal email address. And like you see on the top right corner, I'm a fervent guitar player, so that's one of my my hobbies. So the agenda for today, first start with talking a little bit about styles in Windows 8. So what are styles, what can we do with it, what are the possibilities with it. Then because the styles and notifications are strongly linked together, see, okay, what are the notifications supported by Windows 8. And then in the third part of the presentation to see what possibilities do we have to send notifications to Windows 8 applications, so using the Windows Push Notification Service. And then as a last point to see what the role of Windows Azure could be in this. So in the right corner you see the logo of Windows 8 release preview. So last week, the 31st, the release preview of Windows 8 was came out. So I already upgraded, and you will see that I had a little bit issues with my demos because of that. But anyway, it looks promising, and the release preview is coming more and more close to the final experience. So first of all, a little bit about styles. So first type of styles you see is a basic style. So it's the style you see on your page, on your home screen when you start up your Windows 8 machine, and which you can use to launch an application or to switch to an application and to do to start working within your application. So by default you have your application manifest, which is an XML file defined in your solution, in your project, and there you can define a default style which is going to be shown when the application is being pinned to the start menu. By default there are two sizes of a tile. So you have a basic tile of a square size, 1x1, and you have a wild tile 2x1, so it's a little bit wider. Both of the tiles support live updates, so it doesn't matter, but it's up to you as a developer if you create your tile for your application to support both of the sizes. So you create, you need to support both the sizes. If you don't, you can only have the size you set up. So you have two sizes to support if you want to have something which looks like you see on the screen now. So they all have some activity in them. So you can define two types of styles so that it switches between some content. So if you're also a Windows Phone user like me, then this is something which you already know from the People Hub or any other app, which is just a way to show the icon of the application, but to cycle through the information which might be handy to show extra, like a picture of a guy, like a notification, which we will see later. So that's the mechanism which will be used to show notifications to the user in a more or less interactive way. So that's called the lifestyle. So if they're updated, it's a lifestyle. So it can be updated using a predefined template. So you define yourself what you want to show. So in the previous one you saw you had an image on the left and some smaller images on the right. You can have, for instance, an image on the left and some text on the right. So it's up to you to define the layout. But there are already some predefined templates which you can use for your for that. So it's more easy to get started than to follow more or less the standard way of displaying tiles for Windows 8 application. So there are rich rendering options like the ones you saw. Okay, it can show an image, it can show text, it can show icons, and it can also scroll through various defined tiles. You can show text and image, like already said. But if you want to show an image, you have to choose for a JPEG or a PNG, and the maximum size of it can only be 150K. The reason is that if you send a notification from externally, from the Windows notification service, like we will see later, or from Windows Azure, you don't want to send too much data. So that's why they limit it to 150K, so that it's not going to be too heavy to send it. And then the animation you saw, that's what they call the peak animation, which can show some more details about your application, some updates. And then to update the tile, you can go for local mode. So that means you just do in your application while it's running, you can update your tile with new information. For instance, you have an email application which downloads email on a regular basis. It finds new mail, so it's going to update your tile and say, okay, there are 5 new emails, and it's going to scroll through the 5 top mails. You can do the same from the cloud, so from Windows Azure, you can send also the same notifications as you can do locally, but then it's going to be pushed to your Windows 8 application instead of that you need to code it yourself. So a few samples of tiles we see here. So for instance, the first one, it's a tile which shows an image, but it doesn't only show an image. On the right corner, it also shows the number of updates, in this case 7, and on the left, it also shows a small icon which you can add. So it's more than just an image. In the second one, it's the second template. We see on the left a bigger image, and then on the right, some more smaller images, and again on the right side we see one, so there's one new item into this application, and on the left side on the bottom we see photos, which is text that you can also display. So it's everything can be put together. And then here, third one, it's an image with some text on top, with on the left an icon, plus on the right some in this case, there are 34 new RSS articles that I still need to read. So if we look at this picture, we see clearly that that there are a lot of possibilities, a lot of options to show information to the user, and that it's up to the developer and the designer to find a good way, based on your application and the needs for your user, to share the information and to show the information to the user. That's going to be the most challenging part of building those types of applications. All of them can have can have live updates. So and they cycle just through their two states of the notification. So then, for each tile, there can also be a secondary tile. So which means that if you're inside your application and you're interested in certain content and you want also that content to be pinned to your start screen, you can also do it. And that's called a secondary tile. And from that moment on, every time you click on the secondary tile, it's going to go immediately into the application to the content you have pinned to your start menu. Like for instance, what we see here is it's the Redmond weather. So it's the weather application is just an application running on Windows 8. It shows you the weather globally of the region you selected. But if you say, okay, I'm also interested in the weather in Redmond, I always want to know whether it's sunny in the Microsoft Office over there or not, you can pin it to your start menu, and you always have it right at your fingertips, and if you click it, you get right into the application to that place of the weather. So I'll quickly show you. So I'll try to share my screen. I hope it's okay. Is it big enough?
Yep. You're still in the link environment, but if you go
Okay, so this is how I configured my start menu, so on Windows 8 release preview. So on the left, I have my icons, which are day-to-day things, which I use, my browser, the Windows Store, my calendar, my email, and a link to the desktop. So you already see that some of them are changing based on updates I receive. Like yesterday, I was chatting with Panos on Facebook, so he sent me a few messages. So this tile is going to cycle through the messages he has sent me. I also received, it seems like I have 70 new mails, which I still need to read. And this tile is going to cycle through the top 5 of the mails I received, so that I immediately can see I received a mail from Marston, I have a doodle update, and I immediately know what to do. If now I go to the people, which is this one, you see it has the tile we already saw. If I get into it and search for Anthony, I can, for instance, say, okay, I can pin him, like I said, to my start menu. And from that moment on, Anthony is here. So it's a Anthony is now a secondary tile. So every time I want to follow his updates, it can be in this tile. If I want immediately to go into his profile, I just need to click and I don't need to go through the people and search for him again. I'm always right away in the information I need, which is pretty handy. Another thing we saw is that you can make a tile bigger or smaller. So if you right click it, it's checked. So you can always say, okay, I don't want to see the live notifications, so I don't want to see the updates. So then you can say, okay, I don't want updates. So then the basic tile of people in this case is being shown. So if I put it back on, you will see that it starts cycling again through the to the update. If I want to make it smaller, then you'll see that immediately it's being updated to a smaller size of himself. So it's a nice way to deal with tiles. You also see that there are applications which you cannot make smaller. Like if I click the link entity, which I'm using now to show this presentation, there are more options. Like I can run it as administrator. It's really an application. It's not really metrified yet. So the icon cannot be made wider or smaller. It's just a regular icon like we were used to in Node 7. So we go back.
Click on content list.
Is back?
Not sure. Yeah, he's back. Okay.
So these were tiles. So closely linked to the tiles are the notifications. So to update tile with needed information from your application. So the first type we have in notifications is the tile notifications. So we already saw it more or less when I was looking at my home screen and when we were talking about the tiles before. But what it does is it can change your tile shown on the screen. So you as a developer, you choose a certain image or certain text to be shown on screen, but during the application when it's changing, like we saw with my email, the application itself is going to change the tile to show updates to the user. So it can be text, it can be image. And if you as a developer want to support these types of notifications, you always have to keep in mind that you need to foresee them in both sizes. So you don't know the user is using your application, you don't know in which size he's going to pin the application to your start screen. He might choose the white version, I like it, but another guy might choose the smaller version, the 1x1 version. So if you send a notification update, the tile update, you have to make sure that you send it in the both sizes so that it can also be properly shown to the user based on his preference. So for instance, the two we see here, on the left is the missed calls. So if you get calls on your tablet, you see, okay, I missed a call from three people at the time. You see the horn, and you see on the right hand side you see 5, which says okay, you missed 5 calls. And then on the right you see okay, she sent me an SMS, and she says okay, hey, how are you there? I see her image so that I know who is going to contact me. And on the right side I see a small icon which says okay, currently she's not online. So her state on link or on anything else, on Messenger, Facebook, doesn't matter. Currently she's offline, so I cannot ping her back. So if I want to contact her, I need to call her or I need to send her an SMS. So these were tile notifications. The second type we have is toast notifications. It's to send messages outside the context of an application. So it's to get the user's attention, to ask, okay, hello, something's happening. You can take action, but you don't have to. So the user is in control. He can choose to act on it, to go into the application, to respond on the post, or he can say, no, I'm not interested in those notifications, and he can disable those notifications from your application, so you will not receive it again. Normally what happens is the post is shown to information which changed, and it will allow you to do quick navigation to the contextually relevant information inside your application. Most of the time, the information which was changed at the time. Let's say you receive a new email, it will show you a toast. Ah, you received a new email from Martin, for instance. You click on the toast notification, and immediately your email with that content is going to be opened. So again, same for the time notifications. They're easily invocable from your application or from Windows Azure, from the cloud. So a few templates you can use. They're more or less the same as the ones we saw with the tiles. So there are many different options. You can show text, you can show an icon, you can show an image, text and an icon. The possibilities are endless. And it's the source sending the notification which is going to decide how the toast is going to look like. So what it does is it's going to create an XML file which defines, this is my toast template, this is the text, this is the image, and this is the icon I want to show with a link. It sends the XML to the application, and based on the XML, the application is going to show this toast notifications. The third type is the batch notifications. It's the small icon we already saw on the bottom. It's to show an extra information on a tile, like the number of emails which are still in red, like the number of messages received, the number of calls you missed, whether a person is online or not. It's extra information you add, and it needs to be a subtle thing to add so that the user already can see some more details, but still it's not really taking too much attention from the guy. So it can be small text, it can be an icon, and it can also be shown on the lock screen, like we see underneath those two tiles. For instance, we see here that she sent me a new message. So on your lock screen, if you lock your machine, you'll see that there are two new messages. The same for the calls. You see I missed 5 calls. And in the bottom, you'll see that there is also one really new. So in total, I missed 5 new. But since the last time I went to my lock screen, there was one new thing. And then the last type of notification is the raw notification. There's not much to see about those types of notifications. It's more a notification which you use if no user interface is needed. So you know that your application can perform some background work, like refresh some data or do some stuff inside of the application. You can configure some background task, register it on your application, and if it receives a raw notification, it will start this background task and do its work. So that's cool. For all the notifications, by default, only the last one will be shown. Like we saw with the mails here, it shows you the last one. But you can also say, okay, I want to cycle through the last 5 notifications. So there it's using a little bit the notification queue, where the new notifications are put in that queue, and it's just going to cycle through them, start over from scratch, or show whatever is needed, but with a maximum of 5, what we see there. So as a demo, I'll show you again my screen. Okay. So for instance, if I all the things which are happening here, like here, this is my mail app. It's showing live notifications because I received a lot of new mails, but still it's going to show me the 5 last ones. If I now plug in my USB drive, it should show me the toast notification, I hope. You see, so it shows me a toast notification. This application says, you added a device. So what do you want to do with this removable drive? If I click it, it immediately shows me, okay, what can I do? I can configure this for backup, I can open my folder to view files, or I take no action. So instead of me needing to go to the to explore, to open my drive and to do whatever I want to do with, it's automatically shown as a toast to the user. Something might have changed. What do you want to do with it? But still, if you don't want to take action, it goes away and you're not bothered with it, which is cool. The raw notifications I cannot show because it's mainly a background task. But what I can do is I have some code ready, which I can show. So for instance, a toast sample to quickly show what it does. So this is a sample which you can download yourself from the Windows SDK. So the samples are there. The sample I'm using now is JavaScript, but you can easily download them, install them, and play around with them and see how it behaves. Go and look into code and see how you need to implement it yourself if you want to do it. So for instance, if I want to show a toast text only, I can send it and then I can choose myself what text to add. This is locally. So this is also the XML which you see, which is going to send to the application to say this is my toast. So what do we see? We see, okay, the template I'm using is toast text 01. It's a standard template you use. I can use the text what I want, and for toast, this is all I need to do. If I now want to add an image, I can also say, okay, I sent the same notification, the same toast, but also with an image. And then the XML is a little bit different. So the template is toast image and text 01. I sent the source of my image, an alt text, so that in case the image is not found, that it will show text. And then some body, some text again, like with the regular one. You can also send a sound and anything you want. You can even send just a message from the web if you want to. You can take any link you want, and you take one any link you want. I put some ready. Any link. I don't have internet. That might be an issue. But you can take normally any link you want, if the internet is there, but it's not, so it's a pity. Anyway, you can also add regular URLs, and it seems like it's working. So it shows you a toast with the image I selected, which is Martin, you might know him, which is Pink Sombrero, doing some coding at his customer, and some text. So you can use images like you want in your notifications. So the image I use now is 100 to 100 pixels, so that it fits nicely into the toast, because that is the size I normally use for those. There are many options which you can use to show a heading and some text. So this is a nice sample. There are some others. You have, I'll show you the code, how you need to do it. So what happens is this function, JavaScript function, is going to be called, which says display toast. So it's this is going to check hard coded which template is being used. Normally you would do it a little bit more in a cleaner way, but this is a demo, so it's okay. So if the toast text 01, you will ask the toast content factory to create a toast of text 01, which is the default template which has been foreseen. You set the text to some text. Now I was not able to enter it in my user interface, but normally you would be able to do that. So you create your content. You will create a notification saying content.createNotification, and then you have a notification manager, create a toast notifier, and you say show toast, and it's going to do it. That's all you need to do to show local toasts. Same if you want to do it with image, you can do whatever you want. So then for the tiles we saw, the same, we can have, so now if we go to the home page, unpin this, okay, you see here that I have the tiles sample installs. Currently, it just shows the image I selected myself as a developer. If I now send a new notification, a tile notification, you'll see that it shows me Hello World, my new own tile notification. And the same what we saw earlier, we can also still use the image. So if we want to, we can still go into the application and send a web image, and then it should show you a notification onto this tile using that image plus some text, which doesn't seem to work. But anyway, it should. Then also in this sample, I can also show the batch notification, which is adding a number of changed items to my tile. So for instance, I have five changes in my app. So it will show you the batch showing five. You can also show the glyph, which is more an icon. So for instance, this guy is busy. So on his tile, you will see that shows the busy icon. So like this, you can integrate and you can communicate on a nice way with your user. What else do I have? Okay, for the secondary tiles, which we saw, you can pin your tile, give it a text, and now you will see that I have a secondary tile, which is user controllable. So from your application, you need to say, okay, I want to have a secondary tile created. You make it and you pin it. So how does it look like in code? I'll go back. So pin secondary tile. It takes a logo from my application. So in JavaScript, it's going to create a new secondary tile on my start screen. It's going to set the foreground text color to dark. It's going to set the logo. It's going to get the rectangle where it needs to set it, and then it's going to set it onto the home screen. So there are a lot of possibilities. And then, that's what the notifications are about. I'll now go back to, or I can continue here, perhaps. So important message is that why do you use tile notifications? It's to make your app alive with activity, so that you have some interaction with the user without disturbing him too much, and that the user can decide himself to react on some notifications or not. So that's why it's really a powerful system. So that brings us to the Winners Push Notification service. So now what we did is we only looked at local notifications and local tiles. So in your application, some data changed, you will send your notification. But in real life, what will happen is you will have a Windows 8 application, you will have some clients somewhere out there, and you need to interact with both of them, like Facebook, like Twitter, which are clean samples for that, where there's a web interface, there's a Windows 8 client, there's a Windows Phone client, and you can do updates from all of those sites. But still, if your application is up and running on your Windows 8 tablet and you receive a new tweet or you're being tagged on Facebook, you also want to know about it. So you want to receive a notification, something changed, something might happen for you. So those notifications cannot be sent from your app itself. So they will be pushed from the Windows Push Notification service. So what is it? It's going to enable you to deliver tile and toast notifications over the internet. So the same types of notifications we saw, but then over the internet. So it will even show you those notifications when your app is not running, which is cool. Because what we now saw is, okay, we are in our application. We know that in the application something changed. So we will send a notification or a tile update. That's cool. But if your app is not running, what will normally be the case when working with a tablet, you also want to get notifications. You also want to know, has something changed? Somebody is saying something to me. Somebody is trying to communicate. So that's also what you want to do. So that's the cool part about this, is that when your app is being installed on your Windows 8, it's going to register with the Windows Notification Service, and from that moment on, every time there's a notification sent, it's the Windows 8 operating system which is going to receive the notification based on that registered channel, and it's going to show the notification to the user even though the application is not running. And if the user clicks the notification, the application can immediately be opened and the relevant content can be shown. So the Windows Notification Service is going to handle all that communication for you, so you don't need to think about it. It's there for you. It's scalable, so it's also running on the cloud, so it scales to millions of users, and it's a free service for your application to use. So that's why it's cool. So how does it look like? This is a little bit the schematic overview of how the push notifications service looks like. So on one side you have your Windows 8 with your Metro style app, like the ones we just saw. You have your notification client platform, which is the inner part of Windows 8, which are going to handle the notifications. So why is it outside the app? Is to make sure that even though the app is not running, that the notifications can still be received from the cloud. So that's why it's a little bit separate. Then you have a cloud service, which is your own Windows Azure application or a Twitter or Facebook, something which will send the notification. And then you have the Windows Notification Service, which will couple the two and which will send the notification, receive the notification, and send it to the device. So that's the first step you need to do. It's from your Metro application. You request your channel, which a URL you receive. You register your app and you get an URI. You can say to the notification platform, okay, this is where I'm going to listen to. You request it. Second step is you're going to say to your cloud service, which are going to send the notifications in the end, okay, this is my channel. This is where I'm listening to. These are the types of notifications I want to know. The cloud service is going to authenticate to the Windows Notification Service. It's going to push the notification to the Windows Notification Service. This one is going to send it to the notification client platform, which by itself is going to communicate it with the operating system, and if you click it, with the application itself. So how do you do it? First step is you register your application. So there's on manage.dev.live.com/build, you can register your new application to be notification capable. So it's the Windows Push Notifications and Live Connect. So first thing you need to do is you need to enter the package display name, which is just the name for your application. How do you want to name it? And then the publisher is who is going to publish the application. This is going to be the name how you're going to publish your application in the end on the Windows Store, where you're going to sell it. You enter those two details, you press I accept, and you go on. Okay, and then what you get is you receive the message saying, okay, your application has been registered, you can now continue. So it shows you the package name, which is a unique name which you need to enter into your application so that it defines, okay, this is my application, a client secret, and an SID. So these are the key value, the username and password which is being used to set up the secure channel. So it's using OAuth, which is a protocol which uses a token to do communication over APIs and over web services. And the first moment your application starts, it will use the security identifier plus the client secret, send it to the notification service, to your cloud application, so that they know who you are and about which application they're talking. So these three are needed later. So how is the role of Windows Azure in that? It's you have a Windows Azure toolkit for Windows 8. It can be found on Windows Azure toolkit windows8.codeplex.com. Currently based on MVC 3, on Web API, the SDK 1.6, Windows Identity Foundation, and it also supports the Windows Notification Service, and it helps easily to get you started. There's a lot of samples in there, There is some Windows Azure deployment guidance. Everything is there to get started. The only small issue which you currently have is, like I have, I'm running the release preview, and the toolkit hasn't been updated for the release preview yet, which is logic because the release preview was there last week, Thursday, I think. And yeah, it's not long ago, and every time they need to update the toolkit with the changes, because of course it's still release preview, so there are a lot of breaking changes. They're still changing their minds regularly. They're moving some bits and pieces to other assemblies and to change the structure of the code a little bit. So every time they do that, also these samples need to be updated. So if you install it now on the release preview, it works and you can get some samples out of it, but it's not really fully working like it should. There's still some manual work to do. And the reason for that is that the web API, which is currently there, is the web API also the release candidate. But the web API release candidate is not fully compatible with .NET 4.5 yet. So there's still still some things which you manually need to change to be able to run it. But for the rest, the samples which are there can also are valid and can be looked at, and they're really, really good. So that's nice. So how does Windows Azure fit into the schema we saw before about Windows 8, the notifications, and our Windows notification service? So we saw that the first thing you need to do is, okay, there's a link between your Metro app and your notification client platform. So you request your channel URI on your cloud service. It's going to authenticate to the Windows notification service and then do the push notification from the cloud service over the Windows notification service into the notification client platform, which will show the notification to your client. So how is the role of the cloud service in this mechanism? It's you need to provide a service which is going to be a web-based API based on MVC4 web API, for instance. It's going to be used for channel URI registration. So it's going to be an endpoint where you can send a channel URI and say, okay, this is my application, this is my application ID, I listen to this channel. And now what you're going to do is you're going to store that channel into storage. So on Windows Azure, you have different types of storage. You have three types. You have blob storage, which is an easy storage for files, images, static content. You have table storage, which is a NoSQL implementation on Windows Azure where you can store key value pairs into a table. And then you have queue storage, which is a message queue. But for this case, what I would do is I would persist the channel URI into a table on Windows Azure so that any application which is going to access the web API and who needs information about, okay, what is now the channel, the URL, which the application needs to send notifications, that it can get it from your Windows Azure Cloud Service, that it can ask that service, give me for this application and this client, give me a channel where I need to send the notifications to. Second thing it will do is also the location to store your tiles and your toast images. So earlier we said, okay, we can send a tile notification, we can send a toast notification. You can send regular text, then it's not really needed. But there are a lot of cases where you also want to send an image to the user. You will send a new tile. You will send. You want to send an update picture of the guy. You want to send, for instance, somebody tags you on Facebook, so he sends you a notification, which immediately shows the picture in which you have been tagged. So he wants to send you the image together with your notification. So the notification needs to be somewhere, so I would store the information, the image, on blob storage on Windows Azure, and then you get a public URI, which you can use to read the image. It sends that URI back to the toast, and as we saw before in the previous demo, you can have a notification which uses an image from the internet, so it's basically not more than sending that XML using the image source set to the picture into blob storage. And how can I do that with Windows Azure? So First of all, you have Windows Azure Compute. So it's a web role which fully supports IIS. So it's an Internet Information Service running and showing, allowing you to run the web API or any web application you want. So it supports MVC, WCF Red, and ASP.NET MVC. So to run your web API. And it's, it supports the blob storage and table storage, which you'll need to store the channels into tables and to store images on blobs. So this is an architecture I've designed yesterday. So how I would do it if I would make an architecture for Windows Azure, Windows 8, using notifications, and to make sure that it's loosely coupled, because that's what we always want to keep in mind when building Windows Azure applications. They need to be scalable. They need to be, a lot of users need to be able to use it. They need to be more or less cheap, and they need to be, the architecture needs to be foreseen for that. So if your application, your Windows 8 application has a lot of users, you also need to make sure that you can still cope with that load, and that your data is going to be, that your application is going to be able to fetch its data from an API, plus that the load is going to be handled on the server. That's why we have, on one side, we have the Windows 8 client, which is just our regular Windows 8 application developed in Metro with a nice user interface. But instead of getting our data from locally, because locally on Windows 8, yeah, there's not much, so it will always fetch its data from an online service, Twitter, Facebook, your own application, database. I always put an API / service in between. So on one hand, you can use ASP.NET MVC web API, which is a really simple way to send data back and forth based on the HTTP protocol. So you can only do get, post, put, and delete, not more, but it's really clean. It sends you back XML or JSON, and it's really really low level. It can do a lot of things, but it's really easy. Or you can look at more REST service with WCF, which is more heavy, but has also a lot of more features. So you have this service, this API, and of course this is going to be secured by you, by some credentials, a username, a password, a certificate. You choose it yourself, that your Windows 8 client is going to authenticate to your API, and this one is going to handle your security. Then for read, if you do a read operation, you need data from your application, from your table, from a database, doesn't matter. This API can read the data from wherever it needs it. Does it need it from a file system? Does it need it from a SQL Server database? Does it need it from table storage, blob storage? It can do it. It can do it immediately, directly to storage. But if it wants to change data, you need to decouple those. There are always two things, two separate actions in an application. You have read operations, which need to be fast. You have write operations, which can be a little bit slower. Why? Because there's a lot of business logic involved. There might be more involved than just saving some data. You all know the application where they use this type of system. For instance, if you look at any web shop where they sell books, you buy a book online. If you see the web shop, the books are really fast. So you get a list of your books you want to buy. You get some rating of the books. So that read access, it goes immediately over an API to the storage and gives you the information you need. But if you order a book, you put it into your basket and you check out, there are a lot of things which need to happen. So you pay with your credit card, so you need to check, okay, is there still enough credit on your credit card? Can that guy indeed use that credit card? Do we have that book in our warehouse? Can we ship it? Some people might get notified saying, okay, this guy is buying this book. Perhaps we need to send him some commercial about some other books he might be interested in. So there are a lot of things which need to happen when you order a book. And that's why you normally use a queuing system for that. So you order a book, and that's your order. So you put that order on a queue, and the web application is going to say to you, are your order, or your Windows 8 client is going to say, are your order as being handled? We accepted it. It's going to be processed later. and we'll come back to you about it later. So this queue, there can be a million orders in the queue still needed to be processed. So that's why there is a worker, which is also Windows Azure concept, a worker role, which is not more than a process which runs infinitely, and it does not more than just checking the queue for new messages. And every time a new message gets into the queue, the worker gets the message out of the queue, it starts processing it, and it's going to do all the steps needed for that order. So it's going to say to the table storage, this user ordered this book for this amount. It's going to go to your service to say, okay, he paid with Visa, so I need to get $100 out of his account into our account. It's going to go to the warehouse saying, he ordered 5 books, so we need to ship in 5 books. It's going to get an image from the book, from Bob Storage, get it locally, and send an email to the guy saying, this is the book you ordered, are you happy with it? And then when it's done, the order has been processed, of course, the user needs to be notified about it. The user might already be gone, he already put his tablet away, so there are various types of notifications. You might receive an email, your order has been processed, it will be shipped soon, and you will receive it within 2 or 3 business days. But on a tablet, it's also nice if you just receive a notification from your application saying, your order has been shipped. And every time there is a change in the status of that order, it goes again through a queue and to a worker, and it says, your order has been handled, your order has been shipped, your order has been delivered at the post station, your order has been delivered at home. So there's various types of notifications which are possible. And by doing it with this type of architecture, it's loosely coupled and it's also easily changeable. If, for instance, I get a lot of users on my Windows 8 client who do all reading, so there are not a lot of orders on my website. Most of the people come by and they watch, so there's more to read than to write. I just need to make sure that there are more APIs, and I just scale the API. So on Windows Azure, I have one machine running my API, so I suddenly have 1 million users, so I put 10 machines running my API, all right into the same queue. But since there are not a lot of orders, there might be one worker handling all those orders. Suddenly, out of those million users, everybody starts ordering new books or new CDs. Sometimes it happens, like last year or 1 year and a half ago, Lady Gaga decided to sell her CD for 90 cents, and she tweeted it, and she has 25 million followers. So everybody wants to buy her CD. So suddenly there was a really high peak in orders coming for that CD. So what you need to do, you just scale out your application, you make more worker roles, which all listen to the same queue, and suddenly instead of one order per 1 minute you can do, you can for instance do 10, 15, or if you have 100 servers, 100 orders in parallel you can handle, and all of them are doing their work and sending notifications and doing their stuff. And that's why this is really powerful, and of course you can do it right away with the Windows Notification Service without the queue worker and storage behind it. But if you really want to go for scale and to look into the future to be able to cope with scale and with more users, this might be a good idea to look at, to make sure that you're safe for the future. So now I'll show you a demo of the Windows Push Notification Service and Windows Azure. Like I said, it's not compatible anymore with the release preview, which is a pity. It took me several hours and the complete night to figure out why it was not working, but I didn't succeed in getting it up and running. Luckily enough, I have a movie here of somebody who shows how it's done. So I will show you that. And it open, I think, yeah, it open. I'll put it a little bit in. So I'll put it the screen. So it will show you in a few minutes how I can do it, and I will comment it while it's running to show you what you need to do once the version for the release preview is there, you download the toolkit, which is around 10 megabytes, contains all the samples, all the dependencies, everything you need to know. You install it, it's a zip file, and it unzips everything onto your drive. And you have a setup.cmd which you need to run, and which is going to configure your machine. So in this case, what you see is going to download all the dependencies for this toolkit from the web platform installer, which we all know from Microsoft. So in this case, we need MVC 3, which will probably become MVC 4. You need Visual Studio 11. So I have the 2012 release candidate. You need the NuGet package manager. Why? Because all the packages, all the assemblies which are used within the project are not included into this installer because it will make it too big. So they just use NuGet to download the latest bits, the latest versions of all those packages to configure the application. That's also the reason why it doesn't work anymore, because it downloads the latest version of MVC 4, which is the release candidate, which is not 100% compatible yet with this version of Windows 8. It installs the Windows Azure SDK, and it installs the Windows Identity Foundation runtime. So in this case, all of them were installed. It asks you whether you want to open your firewall, whether you want to install a certificate, and it's going to install every extension, which is a project template, into Visual Studio 2010, Visual Studio 2011, to make sure that when you create a new project, that you can immediately get started with a template for notifications, both on server side and client side. So it has been installed. Configure SQL Server for the security part, so that it can authenticate. And now, if we start up Visual Studio 2010, we see that there is a new project type added, Windows 8 Cloud Application, which is going to be the Azure part in the notification. So first thing you need to do is you go to the live portal, so the same screenshot I showed you earlier. You go there. This is the screen we saw. You enter the package display name, which you can copy from that wizard. You copy the publisher name, you paste it as well, you say okay, I accept, you continue, and then you get back your package name, your client secret, and your security ID. So you enter it into the wizard, so it just configures your application with those settings so that you don't need to update your configuration files yourself. Basically it's doing that, it's a wizard to set up your project. And then we get a Windows Azure project, which we can run on Windows Azure to do those types of things. So you see, if it starts up, it's starting the compute emulator from Windows Azure to run this application like it would have been running in the cloud. And it also installs now a client, which you can use, which is a Windows 8 client app, which you open in Visual Studio 2011, and you can use this one to send the notification and to receive the notification. So first thing you need to do is when the application starts up, you wouldn't normally show it to the user, but what would happen behind the scenes, he says to your Windows Azure service, to the endpoints, which is the API action, it will send there saying, I register my application to the endpoint, it will open, and it receives back the URL on which it's now listening for notification. So it's a db3.notify.windows.com and then a token which has been generated for your application. Okay, then you log into this portal which is running on Windows Azure with your credentials. And then you can use this to test out the notifications. So you can send now a notification to the device which has been connected. So you see here that I have the one record, so there is one device connected. So I can send, for instance, that notification with some image. I can select the image I want, the Azure logo, some text, some second text, and then send it And now what it's going to do, this application is going to do the flow we saw earlier. So it's going to send the XML by selecting those values in the drop-down list. I basically create an XML file. This XML is going to be sent to the Windows Notification Service on this channel with this token. And since my client also registered on that URL with the same token, it can receive it. If we go back to our application, you'll see that it received the file notification with the Windows Azure logo, and that's the most simple notification you can receive, and it receives the Windows Azure Cloud Power text. Then there, of course, you can do all types of notifications there. So you can also do the toast and the tile and the batch, so the raw, all the notifications we saw you can do. So we'll show you the batch. So in this case, it will send a clip, so an icon to show onto the tile. So for instance, there's a new message arrived, like for an email or anything, there's a new message. So see that it shows you the glyph as a notification onto the tile coming from Windows Azure through the Windows Notification Service. And now it cycles through the notifications which we saw. So this was the demo I wanted to do, which I didn't succeed in building myself because of versioning issues. But I assume that Windows Azure Toolkit for Windows 8 release preview will come soon, and then it's pretty simple to get started with. It's in 3 minutes, you can build your own app, start playing with the notifications, see how it behaves. Plus, you can open the code and look into the code how it's done, and it's easy to get started right away to your own application. So, as a recap to see what we saw today, so make your app alive with activity using tiles and notifications. So it's some extra thing you get as a developer to help your users to get a more user interactive feeling about your application. It allows you to show extra information to the user, where before it was not possible because on Windows 7, for instance, you always needed to open the application to see something like this. Now you have the tiles to communicate with your user. If your app is not running and you still want to send notifications, you can look at the Windows Notification Service, which is allowing this to be done. And if you want to use it to the fullest and get the most benefit out of Windows Notification Service, you can use Windows Azure to provide cloud service infrastructure, like we saw in the demo. So I have also bundled some resources which you can use. If you want to make your own app, you can use this link, which is what we also saw in the demo. So it allows you to register your application by entering a package display name and your publisher name, and you can always see the list of my applications which have already been registered. So this is the one I was working on trying to get up and running. So you get a secret, a package name, and a package security identifier. This is the publisher, which is the account of this machine, an application name, and you can still define some logo and anything you want on it. Extra link is the Windows Azure Toolkit for Windows 8, currently only compatible with the consumer preview and not with the release preview, but you can download it here. So it's on CodePlex. See, it's a version of 24th of April, so it still needs to be updated. If you unzip it, it looks like this. We have some documents, some libraries, a setup, and some samples. So the samples you want, so to show some notifications in C Sharp, to have a worker. This is the sample you just saw in the movie with the Windows Azure part and the client part to do the communication. And then some Windows 8 developer documentation also on the same link. There is really a lot of information available out there which will help you to build those applications. Sorry. Like if I go back to here. This is a document which is included into that Windows Azure Toolkit, and which will allow you to to find some information and to do whatever you want. So, for instance, getting started, create a new Windows 8 application. It explains to you how you can do that, notifications with the application services. How the push notifications work. So the movie which you saw is explained here step by step how to do it and how you can implement it, how you can use it, how you can play with it, but only for the consumer preview, not yet for the release preview. And then if you already want, you can download the Windows release preview. It's ready, so it's available. You can download it here. You can download it as an ISO, or you can install it from USB, whatever you want. MVC4 release candidate, which contains Web API and the regular MVC, which we now know. And then also, since recently, there is now Visual Studio 2012 release candidate, which is the one I currently installed, which is the latest version. And if you download it now, there is also a free ebook available if you're interested. If you download it, you get a link to download a free ebook on Windows 8 development using JavaScript and HTML5. And I will add the link to the slide because I have the direct link as well. And then further reading. Like I said, there's a lot of articles online, a lot of guidance available to do these types of notifications and these types of coding. So, for instance, Quick Start on creating a tile explains you step by step how you want to do it. So you get the tile XML, you set the text, create a new tile notification, you set an expiration date, and you say, okay, update this tile notification. So it's explained there for you step by step. Same for tiles and toes, for some guidelines on design. And then here to use the push notifications. Okay, this should be removed. And then the push notification sample, which we just saw, is also available here. If you want to download it separately from the toolkit, you can also download it here, which contains still some extra samples which you can use.